We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Now we're in the fourth week tonight of our sermon series, and it's called what? Born for This. Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Do you know your why? That's what this series has all been about. In week one, we told you you were born to know God and to love God. This is something we call worship. You were born to know Him and to love Him. In week two, we discovered that we were formed for His family, that God didn't create us to be all by ourselves, but He's invited us to His family. And there's a word for His family. Somebody remind me, what's the word for His family? It's the church. The church of Jesus is His family. And it's not just the people in this room. It reaches all the way to the other side of the globe. All over the world, we are the family of God. In week three, we told you you were created to become like Christ. We told you that Christ is the prototype, the original purpose for all humanity. We are all to come into the pattern and into the likeness and to the image of Jesus Christ. Our love should look like Jesus. The words we say should look like Jesus. How we respond in conflict should look like Jesus. Every part of your life should look like Jesus. If you're able to take all that we learned in those 3 weeks and you're able to accomplish it, you would have an amazing dynamic life. You'd have a life that looked like Jesus. You'd have a life surrounded by all wonderful kinds of people that are coming to know Him. And then you would be a person that knows and loves God. That would be exciting life. That would not be a boring life. That would be a powerful, life-changing life. Your life would be filled with amazing purpose. And you'd be a better Christian. And you wouldn't just be a better Christian. You'd be a better spouse. You'd be a better mom and dad. You'd be a better friend. You'd even be a better citizen. Everything would be better if we'd accomplished the first three things that we talked about in this series. Yet God still has something important, still has something specific He wants us to learn in order to fulfill our purpose. What, those first 3 weeks, I mean, like, that pretty much covers it all. What else could we ever add to this topic right here? Because those three things, that's pretty big. I mean, that's pretty big. You accomplish those things, you're doing really good. Well, I want to tell you today, God has something specific for you. I'm talking to you. I'm preaching to you today. Sometimes when I preach, people think, oh, He must be talking about someone else. When I'm talking about forgiving other people, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a good message for so-and-so, right? When I'm talking about, you know, not being prideful, you go, well, I don't really need this message, but I'm so glad Rick is here to hear it. You know, stuff like that. No, let me tell you, you are meant to hear this sermon. This sermon is written individually for you today. Today, I want you to know you were shaped to serve. Can you say shaped to serve? People come in all shapes and sizes. Some are tall and some are short. It's one of my favorite pictures, if we could throw that up there. Does anybody, Jeff knows who these people are, right? This is Manute Bol. He's the tall guy right here. And this is Muggsy Bogues, all right? Muggsy's also in Michael Jordan's Space Jam, by the way. No applause? All right, okay. Manute Bol is the tallest player in NBA history at 7'7". Technically, a guy named George Mureschan tied him at 7'7". But Manute Bol, he is 7'7". And then the shortest player in NBA history is Muggsy Bogues, and he's 5'3". So there's over a 2 foot gap. There's like a 2'4" gap between these players. And at one time, these two men were on the same team. And so you'd be out there seeing these guys next to each other. It was quite a fun thing to see the smallest player in NBA history play with the tallest player in history. That pick and roll was weird looking, let me tell you, Jeff. Manute and Muggsy remind us we are all kind of different, but we're still able to play on the same team. You are unique. You have a unique voice print. the robots, computers are able to identify your voice among all the voices in the world. You see it in the movies all the time, right? They say their voice and that's secret passcode, right? How about this one? You see this often, the eye print. Your eye is unique. There's not another eye like your eye anywhere on the face of the earth. Your fingerprint, you probably knew about that. What about your heartbeat? Did you know that? And your chemistry, what makes you up? What makes you? All your DNA come together. It's not like anything else. It is absolutely unique. Your brain is unlike anyone else's brain. In fact, the sound your heart makes when it pumps blood is distinguishable from every other heartbeat. Everything about you really is unique. You are not ordinary. There is a reason you pull out your phone nowadays and your phone takes a picture of your face. The camera sees your face and it will unlock your phone because you are one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You're special. You were made in God's image. And let me tell you, there is no one like our God. You are made in the image of one that there is nobody like. Now, you really want to know about unique. Our God is unique. He is one of a kind. No one has hands like our God. You were made in the image of his hands. No one has a voice like our God. You were made in the image of his voice. No one has a heart like our God, a mind like our God. And we're told from the very beginning of our Bible that we were made in his image and his likeness. This is a one kind of God, and he made you just like him, one of a kind. No one in the future and no one in the past is like you. Do you know how many people have lived on the face of the planet? It's estimated 121 billion people have lived on earth, give or take a few billion. But who's counting? Well, 121 billion people. I want to tell you, none of them are like you. There is only one of you. You've heard the term, you're one in a million. You're not one in a million. You are one in 121 billion. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. How many know that's a scripture? God himself knit you together within your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says, and it continues, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to understand. How God has formed me, how God has seen me, how God has put me together. It's that knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. This amazing creator, he made you. You may have heard that God does not make junk. Please believe that. God doesn't make junk. You think so lowly of yourself far too often. God thinks so highly of you. God never copies or clones. He never pushes Control C and Control V. How many knows what that is on your computer, right? One of my favorite things in the world, Control A, Control C, Control V. I just save time. What is that? Select all, copy all, paste all, right? God never pushes copy, paste on anything. He creates it from nothing. He puts it together and he doesn't create it and just go, ah, that's good enough. No, he makes it special. He puts the best into it. He put the breath of life into mankind. Yeah. Do you know he's the God of the snowflake? And every snowflake is an original art piece. Every mountain range is a brand new delight. Every sunrise and sunset are actually different. They seem to even hit you emotionally in your heart differently as you view them. Our unique God has made everything uniquely, including you. Can you own that for a moment? You are unique. You are special. You are made by God. Hold that in your heart. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. God has shaped you to serve. And your shape is unique. God has the same purpose for everyone. Right? Same purpose for everyone. He purposes everyone to know him and love him. That's what this series has been about. He purposes everyone to be a part of his family. That's the purpose. He purposes everyone to become like Christ. And he purposes everyone to serve. That's everyone. That's everyone. Same purpose. But how you will serve is unique. Your shape is unique. I would like to say something before we go any further. Receive this. Stop trying to be like everyone else. Stop trying to be like the other guy. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. Try stopping all of that. Can you do that? Be the you that God created you to be. Stop trying to be like everyone else. We waste years of our lives trying to fit in when God made us purposely to stand out. You are not supposed to be like everyone else. Your shape is unique. So don't try to be like the business person down the road. Social media is littered with this. There's, especially on special things like Instagram and Snapchat, they've got these people with these lavish lifestyles, and they're living the big life, you know, and they put that all on video. They want you to see it. And everyone that's following is like, oh, man, I imagine they're just sloppy guys on the couch eating Cheetos looking at that going, man, that sure is the life. I wish I could be like them, right? I think that's like 90% of Snapchat. That's just my opinion. But don't try to be like the businessman down the road. Be you. Be you. Don't try to be like who you perceive to be the cool kid in school or the cool kid in your life. Don't preach like anyone else. Don't sing like anyone else. Don't play like anyone else. Be the original that God's created you to be. Don't be a retread, be a trailblazer. Don't be a copy, be a brand new original. Let your ideas flourish, not someone else's ideas. Stop quoting everyone else. So it's nice to have a quote from everyone else. But what do you say? Let it be heard. Let it be heard. Let your testimony be heard. Let your original thought flourish. Let your talents, abilities, and giftings be on display. Somebody say, your shape is unique. Do you know your shape? We're going to spend some time on this. Y'all ready? Do you know your shape? We have an acrostic for shape. It is spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, experiences. One more time. It is spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. These five areas determine your unique shape in service. This is how God made you differently. And if we understand it and if we walk into it, we will be very, very successful in God's plan for us. Let's start with spiritual gifts. What are your giftings? What are your giftings? You may not know your giftings because you discount your gift. You ever see a person that's really gifted, but they put down their gift? You say, wow, you did such a good job. And they're like, And they mean it to be like a humility thing, but it's not. That's not humble. That is discounting. That is tearing down the gift that God gave you. Say amen if I'm right. I mean, it's absolutely true. Learn to take a compliment. Wow, that was really good. Here's what you do. This is next level pro tip right here. Repeat after me. Thank you. Say those words. Thank you. Say thank you. Receive the compliment. Because guess what? You are gifted. Guess what? You are amazing. Guess what? You are powerful. Receive that. And then give them a compliment. You are so sweet. Thank you. That is so encouraging. All right? Okay. You don't have to get the big head. I know a certain guy that anytime you give him a compliment, he will say thank you. And then he'll say AG2G. And did somebody tell me what that means? All glory to God. So it's great when you receive a compliment to also give all the glory to God. You may mistakenly think that everyone is good at it. Somebody says, really good job. Wow, you're so gifted at that. And you're like, oh, anyone can do that. That's not that good. So that's a different way to discount that thing. That's misunderstanding the uniqueness of your good gift. You think, well, anybody can do that. That's not really that noteworthy. I mean, I'm sure anybody, if anybody wanted to, they could just do what I just did. But they are not gifted like you're gifted. That is not actually true. Get that out of your vocabulary. Get that out of your mind, that anybody can just do that. That is discounting your gifting. And if you discount your gift, you'll never understand your shape. You have a gifting that not everyone has. God has uniquely gifted you in various ways. What is a gifting? What's the root word of gifting? Gift. Gifting is a gift. It is something that comes easily for you, almost as if you have been designed by the Creator to accomplish this thing. There are some things that come easily for you. Singing has always come easily for me. It has always been a gifting for me. There are other things in my life. They took a lot of hard work. Now, singing has taken a lot of hard work, but there was something there in the beginning I was given for free. What's your gifting? Think about it. You were gifted in a certain way. You were gifted intrinsically in your heart, in your mind, in your body. Something in you was intrinsically gifted. LeBron James was gifted with an unbelievable body. There's like heart. It's like a linebacker that's 6'8". What is this guy? He's a freak physically. He didn't earn that. That was actually given to him. He would be really missing his gift if he were a horse jockey. His feet would be dragging on the ground under the horse. That horse would be like, what are you doing? No horse jockeys are these small little guys. Very small. You understand he was gifted and he found his gifting in the proper place. All right. You have been designed by the Creator with the gift to accomplish things. Beyond gifting, the Bible teaches us of God's spiritual gifting. I'm going to hit this very quickly. Learn it. Take a picture of it if you need to. A few truths about spiritual gifts. Here they are. Number one, only believers have spiritual gifts. Only believers have spiritual gift. It is so powerful to be a believer. It is so powerful to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Y'all hear me? When you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that opens up a door of spiritual blessing in your life. And one of those blessings is spiritual giftings. Number two, you can't earn or work for a spiritual gift. It is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. You can't fast for 40 days. And God, past that 39th day, when the clock rolls over to 40, he goes, you know what? Now you've earned this gifting. No, you can't earn this gifting. It is a gift. Number three, the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts and operates within us. The Holy Spirit, which is God in us, he distributes the gifts. That means some gifts are different and they go to different people. And there are gifts that the Holy Spirit has distributed over here that he hasn't distributed over here. But there are gifts over here that he distributed that are different from this one. You understand that? Not only does the Holy Spirit distribute these gifts, he operates these gifts from where? From within us. Number four, I am to develop the gifts God gives me. God gives you a gift, but you are to hone that gift. You are to recognize that gift. You are to grow sensitive to the gifts of the Spirit. You, a Christian, is supposed to be more aware of God as they live their life. Does that make sense? And so 10 years down the road, you ought to be able to sensitively hear God say things that you might not have understood years ago, right? What is that? That is you developing the gift of hearing God, understanding God, recognizing the Spirit working in your life. Number five, it's a sin. Everybody say sin. I'm telling you, a sin. God hates sin, right? Yeah. Well, God hates this one. Listen, it's a sin to waste the gifts God gave me. Right? Now, y'all listen, because some of y'all get the, you understand the burden of the sin of fill in the blank, right? You've got those sins you feel really bad about. You don't feel bad about this one. It's a problem. Start feeling bad about this one. It is a sin to waste the gifts God has given me. It is a sin to waste the opportunities that God has given me. It is a sin to waste the platform that he's given you. It is a sin to waste the influence that he's given you. It's a sin. Somebody say it's a sin. What do you do when you have a sin? You repent of it. Repent of that. Stop wasting any of the gifts. Start operating them, thanking him for them. And number six, using my gifts honors God and it expands me, right? It honors God. It lifts up who God is, but it opens up doors for me. We have people all throughout the Bible that their gifting opened doors for them. There was a man named Joseph, and his gifting in interpreting the dream of Pharaoh opened the door of the cell for him, and he went from the darkest dungeon to second in command in all of Israel. What opened that door? It was his gifting, and his gifting at all times honored God, and it expanded him. These are things you need to know about spiritual gifts. Scripture gives us a lot of a list of spiritual gifts, several places in the New Testament. The spiritual gifts are for the family of God, the church. Paul instructs eagerly for us to eagerly desire God to use us in the gift. He says it ought to be something you pray about. You ought to earnestly pray and seek that you would be used by God in the spiritual gifts. I have a list of these gifts from Scripture in my notes. I'll post them online, and I'll also provide printed copies for you today if you want to know more. But given time, we have to move on. All right. Shape. So number one was spiritual gifts. You don't know about your spiritual gifts, learn more about it. Number two, what's number two? It is heart. Heart equals passion. Gifts are what you are supernaturally good at. Passion is what you love to do. It's what you love to do. The reason you enjoy some things and dislike some things could be because God has given you a particular, unique shape. That's why you like some things and dislike other things. Some things you are really interested about. It really interests you and it fascinates you. And other things bore you. They bore you. Right? Some things energize you. There are some things that they, man, gets me just excited, gets me pumped. It's like, look out. If you call me after this, you're going to hear all about it. Right? I'm excited. I'm energized about it. And some things drain you. Something is just work. It's like homework for you. This week, I was just reading my Bible and reading my Bible. Things just started to fall out that I needed to study up on. I'm like, wow, I don't understand what's going on here. I was understanding it, you know, reading, and it was not just a simple answer, really understanding, getting deep into the Word. Let me tell you, that was not a drain. It was exciting. I have a hard time not telling you all about it right now because it makes me excited. It wasn't like homework, which drains you sometimes, right? No, it was something, it's my particular shape. It's my heart. It's something I love. It's something that makes me passionate. Scripture says everything flows out of your heart. Everything. It says guard your heart because everything flows out of it. Proverbs 4:23. If we all had the same heart, we'd all do the exact same thing. If we all had the exact same heart, we'd be the same person. Because God diversifies our heart, everything gets done. I have a heart to go do things, and you may have a heart to go plan things. And don't you understand that we need each other? Yeah, our hearts are different by design so that everything gets done. A man named Nehemiah, everyone say Nehemiah. This guy's in your Bible, right? He's in the Old Testament. He heard news of struggles in a faraway land, and his heart was stirred. Nehemiah sat down, and he cried, and he decided, I will go and help this land of Israel. It's in your Bible. So who moved on his heart? God moved on his heart. Does God still move on the hearts of people? Does he? Do we have any examples anywhere nearby? Can anyone think of an example a little bit like this? Paul, thank you so much for being with us today. We want to welcome you like a hero because you are an absolute hero to us. Let's hear it for him one more time. We're thankful for you. Paul Nabiallek, everybody. A Fort Worth police officer heard about the struggles of a faraway land of Ukraine, and his heart was stirred. Tears flowed from his eyes, and Powell decided he would go help the people of Ukraine. It was more than an emotional decision. It was Powell operating in his unique shape. Your heart is unique. Sometimes you feel what no one else feels. And sometimes that really bothers you. You're like, I feel this way. Everyone should feel this way. Should they? No, because we're unique. You're going to feel things at a different level than others. You feel like crying sometimes. Here's what you do. You look around and see if it's okay to cry. And you realize it's okay to cry if you see other people crying. That's not how it's supposed to work. Stop that. Cut that out. Say, cut that out. Don't do that. You feel like crying. Don't look around and see if other people are crying because they don't have your heart. They don't have your shape. They might not have God operating in their heart exactly like he's operating in your heart right now. When you're in worship, sometimes you feel like worshiping in a certain way. And what do? You look around. Is it okay? I don't know. Is Marshall worship? Would Marshall be okay with me worshiping like this? Would it be all right? Would Jeff be upset if perhaps I lifted this hand this way over here? Like, what is that? What is that? That is you trying to be like everybody else. That's what that is. You've got a unique heart. So let that heart feel its uniqueness. Let it be moved emotionally in a unique way. Stop trying to copy and paste what everyone else is doing. They don't have your heart. They have a totally different heart, a totally different shape. So let your heart uniquely shape your service. Spiritual gifts, heart. Number three, somebody say it. Ability. There's a difference between giftings and ability. There are abilities that you have had, that you have sharpened and grown through hard work and consistent effort over time. Giftings come easily, but abilities take calendar time. Everybody say calendar time. There's some, you know, you have a watch, you look at it and you can see the seconds move. Then there's a different kind of time. It requires flipping a calendar up, right? It's like 30 days have passed worth of work, right? That is called ability. Ability takes calendar time. Your abilities shape you. They teach you discipline as well as give you skill. Your growing abilities mean you are able to overcome challenges. Your growing abilities mean that you are more usable today than you were yesterday. When you learn a skill, when you grow in an ability, it makes you more usable. A lot of things we call giftings are abilities that have been cultivated. You hear Rick Nolan play the guitar. But here's, you like what you hear when you hear Rick Nolan. Can we give it for Rick Nolan in the house? It just work on the rock face. Go ahead and just go full rock face when you do it, okay? Just give you permission to do it. Love it. But only Rick knows how many hours of practice he has put into his skill. While there may have been a gifting, there was an absolute calendar time, an ongoing study, an ongoing devotion to his instrument, the guitar. Because of Rick's ability, he is able to serve us in worship. Thank you, Rick. So we've got spiritual gifts. We got heart. We got ability. We got what? Personality. Everybody say personality. Your personality is unique. It is. Some of us enjoy a predictable routine. Raise your hand if you like that. Anybody? Anybody enjoy? All right, no hands up. Some of us enjoy variety. Who are you? Who are you? Excellent. And some of you go back and forth. Yeah, a little bit. All right, we're all over the place. Yeah, yeah. All right. Some prefer a group. Raise your hand if you like groups. Like, all right, hands up. Raise your hand if you're more of a lone ranger. Anybody? Raise your hand. Yeah, you're more of a lone ranger. All right, that's your personality. Some of us are morning songbirds. Where are you? Morning songbirds. Where are you? All right. Some of us are night owls. Let's see you. You there? You are. Oh my goodness. So I saw somebody raise their hand twice. That person never sleeps. Pray for that person, yo. You may be an introvert. Anybody introvert? Introvert? All right. What about an extrovert? Anybody extrovert? Which one am I? Can you guess? All right. So shy. I'm so shy. You've heard the saying, opposites attract. You heard that saying? It's also a Paula Abdul song from the 80s. All right. You've heard, it might be early 90s, I don't know. The greater our differences, the greater our potential for growth. I'm going to say that one more time. Listen, the greater our differences, the greater the potential for growth. We need each other's differences. We're actually stronger because we're different, and yet we love each other, and we're working side by side. Your spouse is probably different from you. That's a good thing. It's a good, good thing. Stop trying to change them to be like you. Yeah. All right? Stop trying to... Clyde loved that one. All the guys clapped. What's going on? All right. Listen, stop trying to change people to be like you, think like you, be like you in every way. Stop that. That's actually cutting against your growth potential. Their differences can actually benefit the group. If you were exactly alike, it would actually be boring. It would be boring. Somebody say boring. All right. If you were exactly alike, you would have fewer strengths. View people differently. That person is very different from you, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's an asset, and it's not a setback. And personality is one of those struggles. Most of the problems that we have, the frictions we have in our relationships, are due to personality differences. All right? All right? We need to get past those personality differences, learn to love, learn to celebrate each other, learn to be in the room together, learn to rub up against each other. Is there a scripture about being sharpened? Right? Iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. What is that? That is friction. That is two sharp people. That is two gifted people rubbing up against each other. Their conversation, their argument of ideas that actually makes them better. It makes them better. Look somebody in the eye that's different and say, you are so different from me. Don't you dare change. Don't you dare change who you are. Now, what are you doing then? Now you're celebrating who God has made them to be. Oh, stop trying to change. I wouldn't change you for anything. Everybody in this room, I love you just the way you are. I wouldn't change a thing about you. Be you. I love you. The Apostle Paul says we are all different members of the same body of Christ. And he says some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are eyes. Wow, think how messed up the body would be if we were all hands. Think of a body made of hands, walking on their hands, they're talking with their hands. None of that would make any sense. No, it is the different parts of the body that make it function and make it beautiful, make it worthy of service. Your personality is part of your unique shape. Review. We got spiritual gift, we got heart, we got ability, and we got personality. All right, the last one is experience. Your experiences shape. Which experience are we talking about? Only the good ones, right? Oh, man. I like good experiences, right? Both the good and painful experiences shape who you are. You have wisdom to share. And that wisdom is so valuable because you earned it through hard experiences. You earned that wisdom through hard experience. And so when somebody has wisdom to share with you, you better grab a hold of that. You better honor that wisdom because that wisdom did not come cheaply. Often we parade our good experiences. Want you to know all about my good experiences. Here they are. Wow, look at this. I went out and I thought I could do it and I worked at it and there I did it. It was really good. I want to share that one everywhere, right? I tried to lose weight and there, you know, it was successful. And then there, I tried to love again and you know what? I did and it was so good and we lived happily ever after. And here, all these wonderful experiences we try. We love to share those, but the bad experiences, we hide those, put those way deep. Those are things we don't want to talk about. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't do these things. But I want to tell you, God can use your bad experiences for good. Here's a C.S. Lewis quote from his book, The Problem of Pain. He says, "Pain is the megaphone of God." Say that with me. Pain is the megaphone of God. Some of your most painful experiences are times when God has been the loudest. Sometimes you go through painful experiences, but it is the time you absolutely heard God speak crystal clear. You knew exactly that God was with you, even in the most painful situation. Am I saying, thank goodness we went through that painful experience? Well, we don't. It's not about the painful experience, but it's about what we earned from it. You earned something that is so valuable in that painful experience. You learned that God is with you even in the hurt. It is in the pain that we realize how much we need God and we need our brothers and sisters. Some of your relationships in this room were formed over painful experiences. And because you didn't hide it, but you put it out in the open and you cried in front of that person and you said, "I am going through so much trouble. What do you think I should do?" And that person took you by the hand and they didn't feel like they had the right words to say, but my goodness, if God didn't give them the exact right heart in that moment and they prayed for you and God was right there in that moment and a friendship is now alive in that moment and lives way beyond that moment. And anytime you have a painful experience in your life, you know exactly who to call. You turn right to the church and you turn right to your brothers and sisters. Do you see how that shapes you? Do you see how powerful that is? It is in our pain we realize Jesus went through this very struggle. Whatever pain you're going through right now, I want you to know Jesus went through this very pain that you're feeling. Sometimes we have shameful stories. Those are the stories we try to keep hidden. We could never imagine sharing these shameful stories. There are things about your life you can't, it's actually a fear of yours that it would be known. It would be just a fear. I once had a friend who told me, "You know what? I could become a millionaire overnight." And I said, "How's that?" He's like, "All you do is you just find really successful people and you email them from a hidden account and you just say, 'I know what you did, and $1,000 buys my silence.'" I don't know. And he laughed and I'm like, "Hey, where'd you get all your money, by the way?" And he changed the subject. I changed my email immediately. Because we have these hidden things. We can't imagine anybody ever knowing about them. Some of us, the idea of other people knowing is worse than what we actually went through. Somebody nod if y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we could never imagine sharing such a story. We think they'll probably kick me out of church if they ever find out. There are people that think that, isn't there? Yeah, there's people that have thought that. Have we kicked y'all out? No, we haven't. And y'all haven't kicked me out either. Thank you. We have a God who redeems. What's the name of this church, anybody? It's Redemption Church. We have a God of redemption. And what does God redeem? Does he only redeem a few things? No, he redeems everything. He says, "Behold, I make all things new. He redeems everything. Do you know what shame looks like when God redeems it? Think about that. Think about your shame, that hidden story you don't want anybody to know. Do you know what that thing will look like if you let God redeem it? Here's what it looks like. When the drug addict tells you how God redeemed his shame, it is no longer a story of shame. It's a story of a testimony.
Yeah.
It flips when God redeems it. When the hypocrite tells you how God redeemed them from their foolish ways, it doesn't look like what an awful, awful story. No, what it looks like, it looks like victory. It looks like a win. When God redeems that story, you always hide. Suddenly, you stand in front of cameras. Suddenly, you stand in front of microphones. And anyone who would even listen, you would say, look what God has done. Because God has taken that thing you would have hidden. He's redeemed it. Now you are sharing it. And that shaped you. That's your experience. You don't have to hide. Your experience has made you uniquely qualified to minister. Those that are going through depression, you are uniquely ministered. You are uniquely gifted to minister to those who are going through depression. Those who have lost a loved one, you are uniquely shaped to minister to others in that same situation. You that have gone through a divorce, you are uniquely gifted to minister to others in that situation. To the young girl who had an abortion, let God redeem your story. To the young boy who tried to hurt himself because he felt unworthy, let God redeem your story. To those who had to file for bankruptcy, let God redeem your story. To the one who has sinned, to the one who has lied, to the one who has cheated, to the one who has stolen, to the one who has fallen so short of God's glory, let God redeem your story. Oh, it's such a powerful thing. I've been so blessed to be able to stand face to face with people that are contemplating ending it all. I talked to a young man who was on the Alabama football team. The Roll Tide, Alabama Crimson Tide there. Can't stand that program. Y'all want to join me in praying against Alabama? We'll do that together another time. But this guy, he was on a top collegiate program. He's one of the greatest high school players in the nation. He's made it. He's on his way to the NFL. And then his world came crumbling apart. He made terrible choices. He is now no longer on that team. He is now marked. Everyone knows his story. And I felt the absolute power of God when I got to tell him, right now, you're standing in a place where you have a story you wish you could erase. You wish you could make this story go away. You listen to me. The God who loves you is going to take this story. He's going to use it, redeem it. And one day you're going to tell other people about it. And you're going to have victory over this moment. I'm speaking to you tonight. You receive that. God wants to take that awful story and he wants it to be your absolute victory. Let God redeem your story. It's all a part of your shape. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, a wonderful verse. You got to know this verse. It says that God has made us what we are. You could stop right there and just, you learn that sentence, right? Some of us haven't learned that sentence. God has made us what we are. And let me tell you, he smiles about that. He smiles about how he has made you. Reads on, in Christ Jesus, God has made us to do, say it, good works, which God planned, past tense, in advance for us to live our lives doing. God made you to do good works. Before you took your first breath, God was happy about you. Before you ever walked and could say mama or dada, God had a plan for you. He has a plan for you. A unique shape, a unique service. you have a good work in your life that he's created in advance. Now, do you know we in the church, we have a word for good works? You know what word that is? Let's throw that on the board there. Good works equals ministry. Whenever you hear ministry, what's ministry? Ministry is for those select few people who wear suits and ties to church. They are a minister. Everyone say, minister, right? Oh, I could never do that. I'm not a preacher like you guys, right? Oh my goodness. I've hung around preachers, guys. Y'all on good footing, let me tell you. No, good works equals ministry. It equals serving. It equals loving, and because you love, you do something. That's what it is. Do you know what God has made you? Do you know that God has made you to minister to others? Oh, I'm not a minister like you. Don't ever say that sentence to me. Don't ever say that sentence to me. That sentence is not true. You are not a minister like me, but you are made to be a minister. The Church of Jesus Christ is not one minister standing up at the front and a bunch of people listening. That's not God's plan. No, we're all ministers, and we're called to go into this world, and all of us serve, and all of us love, and all of us build up, and all of us care. But I'm not a preacher. When you say things like that, you are denying your God-given shape, and instead you're trying to be like someone else. That's what you're basing that on. But I'm not a singer. Well, that may not be your shape, but you have your own shape, and you should pursue that shape, that calling. But no one wants anything I have to offer. That's another one thing people say. I want to tell you, there's somebody I know exactly who wants to have what you have to offer. And it's God. God wants exactly what you have to offer. Offer it. Offer it in service. Feel led to tell you this, that God has said these words in Scripture. It says, the calling and the giftings of God are beyond, anybody know the word? Repentance. What does that mean? That means when God has gifted you and when God has called you, it means he will not change his mind about your gifting and your calling. He will not reach down and rip away your gifting and your calling. I was reading just this week. We have a man in the Bible. His name is King Saul. And King Saul messes up so terribly. And you're reading about King Saul, and it starts here, and it's like, oh, good job, Saul. Good job. What are you doing, Saul? Stop it, Saul. What are you doing? Pray, Saul. Have a prayer meeting, Saul. It's just getting worse, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse. I was so shocked. I'd forgotten about a time. He gets mad at a whole city. He kills all the priests in the city and kills women, children, and animals in the city. He just goes crazy angry. This guy goes all the way to the bottom. But do you know what also he did during that time? He prophesied. And I'm reading this story, and it's like, oh, Paul, you're the worst. I'm just like, not Paul, Saul. Saul, you're the worst. King Saul, you're the worst. I can't wait to get past this King Saul character. And then it says, and King Saul prophesied. I'm like, how? How can he prophesy? How can he prophesy? I'll tell you how he can prophesy. Because even when you are going the wrong direction, even when you're being an idiot, even when you're being unkind and unloving and not being anything like God, God has not repented of your gifting. And he has not repented of your calling. What does that mean for you? That means that you have never sinned so bad that God still won't. You have never walked away so far from God that God still doesn't have a gifting for you and a calling for you. You need to get away from that. Any voice that's telling you you've gone too far, God no longer loves you, God can no longer use you, that is a lying voice, and you need to call it what it is. God can still use you. In fact, he created you to do good works, and he has not repented of it. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about the other guy. I'm preaching to you today. I'm not preaching to some other church or some other pastor. No, I am talking about you. This is what you were born for. There is a God-shaped hole in the world. And that's a void that only God can fill. But there is also a U-shaped hole in the world. There is a need that you are uniquely shaped to fill and to serve. There is a hole in the world that God has created you to fill that hole. There is a redemption church-shaped hole in our community. And God has uniquely shaped this body to serve right here. Help us to do it. Have you discovered your shape? Are you serving? Do you realize that God has purposed you to minister to others? These are things you need to know. And if you know them, you need to walk in them. You have a God-given purpose. Are you walking in it? Do you know and love God? Are you a part of God's family? Are you becoming more like Christ? And have you embraced your shape for ministry? We're drawing to a close right now. In a few moments, we're going to open up this time for a time of talking to God and prayer. We're going to come and pray today. And I will gladly pray over any need in this house. If you've got a need.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.